south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander...
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
All right, good news out there for you guys and gals who know a bit of Spanish or are learning Spanish. Just read a little report in a neurocognitive journal. I know you're probably thinking Johnny must have a lot of time on his hands if he's reading that crap. Or maybe he's in a rubber room with a straitjacket and that's all they gave him to read. Well, you know, you probably heard me say this before. Every time I'm sitting down anywhere, I'll pick up whatever's close by and start reading it. I even remember as a little kid sitting on the john, reading the entire Glade air freshener label. The Clorox label, the liquid plumber label, the Nair label, the Ajax label. That's how I ended up flipping through that cognitive journal that had an article about Alzheimer's and dementia, talking about people who were bilingual, who knew a second language. So naturally, it grabbed my interest. The crux of the article was that the number one way to put the brakes on the progression of dementia and or Alzheimer's was to be bilingual or to learn a second language. Second best way, play a musical instrument with regularity. In other words, actually practice once in a while. And the third best way to put the brakes on dementia and Alzheimer's? No surprise here, routine exercise. But not just any exercise. They're talking about 3 to 5 times a week where you break a little sweat. You know, you gotta wonder, how many people out there, I mean, there are millions of them, who say they exercise regularly, but they never break a sweat. There seems to be a real shortage of documented, printed data on that, too. Yeah, man, I work out every day. Well, do you break a sweat? Well, not really, but I wear sweats. You know, the latest brand, I'm hip with a trip. They're expensive. I'm telling you, I absolutely look fabulous when I'm working out. I bet, but do you break a sweat? Why would I want to do that? I meet my crew at Starbucks after I work out. Sporting sweat stains at Starbucks? That's gross. So anyway, according to stats, learning a second language or being bilingual seems to be the best way or one of the best ways to ward off the onset of dementia or Alzheimer's. So that is good news for all you bilingual gringos out there, or at least gringos who are trying to be bilingual. You'll have much less cognitive degeneration than the average slug in Cleveland, my jammy, or Milwaukee, who happens to be your age. That's good news, right? We don't all have to be forgetful dunces at 60, 70, or 80 years old, do we? That's a good thing and something I'm sure no one wants to think about. There's a lot of things people don't want to think about, like, for example, getting stuck in a nursing home or your funeral. That's why so many people procrastinate with their last will and testament, for that matter, buying a funeral plot. But dementia and Alzheimer's, man, those are not the kind of conversations you ever hear at parties or get-togethers. So, George, what do you plan on doing when you forget who you are? That said, let's not dwell on that here either. I can think of no better reason for you potentially lazy-ass gonna-bes and wannabes who are thinking when you come down here, you really don't have to learn Spanish. Hell, you've got Google Translate, right? And even you gringos and expats who are already down here in Latin America, who just don't want to put in the effort or you've thrown in the towel on the Spanish thing. Ask yourself, do you want to be that guy or gal whose friends and acquaintances are whispering behind his back? Things like, man, something's wrong. Jackie's memory's not what it used to be. I think maybe he or she's losing it. You don't want to be the object of that conversation. The other thing is, there's so much mention in the news and in the media, etc., about Alzheimer's and dementia. And we all know someone who's got it, right? That sometimes when we forget stuff, and everybody does at one time or another, we're thinking, oh no, could it be? Or worse yet, maybe it's someone else thinking that about you. In that case, you'll never know. But, you know, when it happens to me, I just reflect back when I was 20 or 30 years old. I used to forget things back then. So, for me, when I forget stuff, it's nothing new. That's why, and you might think this is a little crazy, I always have a little notebook on me and a pen. Actually, it's a mini pen, about half size. I'm always writing shit down. But for me, that's a habit I picked up in engineering school, because I remember the first day when our decano, you know, the dean of the school, in Spanish, the dean is el decano. Anyway, el decano was addressing all us greenhorn newbies at an assembly. He said, future engineers of America. He said that sort of cynically, and I'll never forget this. He said, half of you here will not graduate. it's not that you're not all smart enough to do it. It's just that you guys and gals that will have to have two strong habits. By the way, there were about 100 in my class. With three girls out of that 100, 3%, all three of them unattractive, manly girls who did graduate, who I'm sure are millionaires now. Anyway, the dean said, all of you do have the brains to graduate. You've fulfilled and passed all the entrance requirements, but the ones who do will have two things in common. Number one, you'll write things down all the time, and not just in class either. Number two, you'll be organized. Both in your brain and in the real world, you'll have a filing system. Then he said, the rest of the world might not understand or figure out your filing system, but as long as you have one and you know how to access your data, that's all that matters. That's when I learned a long time ago that if you write things down, you don't have to have a good memory. Luckily, though, dementia and Alzheimer's do not run in my family, and there is a genetic component. But still, it's a very good thing to know that bilingual people, according to that cognitive research article, can routinely delay dementia 5, even 10 years more than the average slug who just knows one language, like English. So think about that next time you're sitting in your car and you're wondering if you turned off the stove or not. Then again, if you learn a little Spanish and play the tuba, you can't help but protect a few brain cells. By the way, on that same topic, I had a conversation with a musician friend of mine. He was saying, as far as playing an instrument, the best of both worlds would be being a drummer. Because you'd have the musical instrument thing down and constant exercise. Lots of movement, plenty of blood flow and cardio. He said, look at Ringo Starr. He's 80-something and he's still touring and playing drums. But we nixed that hypothesis when he brought up the name Phil Collins. You know, famous drummer from the old group Genesis. On his last tour, and I think he's only 70, couldn't even sit behind his drums. He sang, but from a wheelchair. I saw some pics. The guy's like an 80-pound vegetable. Oh, well. So much for that hypothesis. Then again, Eric Clapton's still touring, and what is he, close to 80? He admits himself, for 30 years, he downed a quart of booze a day. And let's not even talk about Keith Richards. Even 20 or 30 years ago, he was already looking like a cross between Beetlejuice and the Ghost of Christmas Past. All right, moving on. You know, in a show last week, I was talking about going solar, either full off the grid or partially off the grid. Yeah, I know something about that, all right, because I've done it. And I've done it down here in Latin America without putting a single kink in my first world lifestyle. In other words, you could go solar or partial solar without sacrificing any of your first world habits. Now, diving deep into that solar stuff, here's something I learned along the way that I don't think very many people understand. Did you know that 25% of all fossil fuel energy goes into heating water? That's a generalized worldwide figure, 25%. That includes, of course, hot water for your shower or bath, hot water for washing clothes and dishes, heating up hot water on your stove and cooking things, and heating and warming up massive quantities of water used in industrial processes. So again, heating up water uses 25% of all fossil fuel energy in the world today. Look, take Latin America. The indigenous population in Mexico, Guatemala, Honduras, Peru, Ecuador, Bolivia, etc., etc. Half of those indigenous people cook with firewood. So if you believe in man-made global warming, and there is a component to that, right? That could be reduced by 25%. If every family, every household, and every commercial enterprise heated their water with a solar heater. Solar power is free, and there are super efficient solar hot water heaters out there. I've had one on my last three houses. You know, I'm not talking about solar panels, solar electric. I know a lot of people complain about solar panels because they have a lot of rare metals in them, especially when you talk about lithium storage batteries. You've heard the stories. Slave labor out of China, Indonesia, Africa, Vietnam, I get it. What people don't know is that your typical solar hot water heater uses none of those materials. There's nothing really high tech about it. Practically every big hardware store sells them and has them on display, too. It's just a big old tank with glass tubes that have a special coating on them. Your cold water comes through those tubes, gets heated by the sun, and the hot water rises up those tubes. They're set at an angle. And that hot water is continuously filling a 60 or 80 gallon tank. So you've got continuous hot water all day, and at night, you've got that reservoir of heated water in that tank, ready to use if you need it. So if you buy and install one of those, you'll have hot water for free quite probably the rest of your life. Those things are simple and with no moving parts, so they'll last a long, long time. Even when it's cloudy and rainy, you got hot water, because the sun still shines and it's putting out some energy. Here's the thing, as you're flying into any big international airport, you're going to go past lots of cities as you get lower and lower. And you're going to see about maybe less than 1% of people are using those solar hot water heaters. The obvious question is, why not? I just mentioned if everyone did that, we could lower fossil fuel use by 25%. By the way, it's been calculated that if the entire United Kingdom quit using fossil fuels completely for an entire year, in other words, they went right back into the dark ages, that would only decrease total worldwide fossil fuel use for that year by 2%. And we're talking about a 25% drop in use just by simply switching over to solar hot water heaters. Duh, so then why isn't that idiot Greta Thunberg talking about this? So then you might ask, why is less than 1% of the world using these things? Well, you know, people might say because they're expensive. About $1,000 to put one up on the roof. What's that, $100 a year amortized over 10 years? Think of it this way, 25% of your electric bill is heating hot water. So then just what is your electric bill every year? $1,000? $2,000? I rest my case. Of course, a unit like that's a little more expensive up in the States in climates up north where it freezes. That means it has an additional heat transfer jacket using a liquid that's not water so it doesn't freeze. So anyway, that's my comeback when someone whines about human-caused global warming. First thing I ask them is if they're doing their part. You know, you can't win that argument, but you can make them look stupid by asking one question. Do you have a solar hot water heater on your house? Because if you don't, please just shut up. Then, after about 2 minutes of explaining it to them, their eyes will widen and they'll say, yeah, I gotta get me one of those. Why isn't the word out on that? Yeah, well, I've been using paper straws for a year now, so I'm doing my part for global warming, but I gotta get me one of those solar hot water heaters. That is, as soon as I could scrape together $1,000, which, by the way, never happens. So again, those thermal solar hot water collectors are just a box with tubes, not sexy. But they sure do the trick, and they'll cut down on the average person's electric bill by 25% or more. Oh, and for you cheapskates out there and do-it-yourselfers, there's a way to do that whole process without spending a grand on that tank with those glass tubes. The fact is, if you want to get rough and ready about it, you don't need those glass tubes at all. Do you remember as a kid taking a drink out of a garden hose and it was way too hot for you to drink? Well, that's exactly the same principle as a solar hot water heater. In fact, many, many years ago, when I was back in the States, I used to get Mother Earth magazine, and they had a little setup in there that long ago, 30-plus years ago, showed how to make your own do-it-yourself solar hot water heater out of a black Sears garden hose. So then why did it have to be a Sears rubber garden hose? Well, you'll never guess. It's because, like Sears Craftsman Tools, Sears had a lifetime guarantee on their best black rubber garden hoses. And if you were going to use one or two of those hoses for your solar hot water heater, you'd really be putting those things through their paces and you'd need that guarantee. So then how did it work? Well, you'd link up a couple of them until you had about 100 foot of hose. Hook it up between your cold and hot water supply. Turn off the gas or electric to your standard regular hot water tank. Coil that hose up like a spring and lay it flat on your roof. You lay it down on the pitched shingle side that most faces the sun. And now you've got a cheap and dirty solar hot water heater for way under $100. And if the hot output water is attached directly to the input of your hot water tank, you'll have a storage tank full of hot water to use at night, too. Anyway, what I'm saying, even 30-plus years ago, there were ways you could set up your own solar hot water heater when those prefab units with special glass tubes just didn't exist yet. And you could do it for under $100. But nobody but diehard Mother Earther do-it-yourselfers would ever attempt that. Why would they? 30 or 40 years ago, no one was talking about global warming. They were talking about global cooling. Remember that? Yeah, there were famous meteorologists and climatologists writing books about the coming ice age. Besides that, 30 or 40 years ago, electricity, gas, and oil were dirt cheap. Funny how the world has flipped upside down on that, huh? By the way, speaking of global warming, man-made and otherwise. You longtime listeners may have heard me say I lived in England, the UK, for a couple of years. Of course, I made some buddies up there, and not so long ago I was talking to one of those buddies, a nerdish engineer friend of mine. He was talking about what an idiot dupe that Greta Thunberg is. You know, she who flies around on all those private jets with Bono and Leonardo DiCaprio and leads all those global warming protests. The thing is, my nerdy Brit buddy says, if you go to one of the big London museums, I can't remember which one it is, he said there's a big section of that museum devoted to the time when the Romans came up and conquered all of England. Remember Hadrian's Wall? A defense wall built by the Romans separating England from Scotland. Built 2,000 years ago. Anyway, my British buddy told me there are some original paintings from that era in that museum depicting the way London looked when the Romans occupied it. He said there are original murals and paintings depicting the streets of London with, get this, every so often a scattered palm tree. Duh? Palm trees in London? Have you been to London? Dismal, cold, foggy, at times snowy and bone-chilling? You know what kind of climate you need to grow palm trees? Well, that's the kind of climate they had 2,000 years ago. To be precise, 1,900 years ago. Way back then, could it have been man-made global warming caused by horse farts and campfires? Way back in 100 AD? I think some humble pie is in order there, Greta. Yep, humble pie, organic, vegan, hold the gluten. Oh, and one more thing about those solar hot water heaters. If you're thinking, you know, they just kind of heat up the water a little bit. Well, for one thing, you size it to your family. They've got them small, medium, and large for singles, couples, and family. And, you know, some people say they take mighty hot showers. They don't want that water to come out in just a trickle and lukewarm. Well, I'm here to tell you, man, the sun, especially here in Latin America, is so hot that water can be uncomfortably hot. If you don't adjust the cold water along with it, it could scald you. All right, moving on. You know, lots of people say, Johnny, one big reason that's holding me back from getting the hell out of Dodge and getting my plan B going. I just know I'm going to have a problem leaving my family and my best friends back home in Cleveland. As if those you left behind were your only friends. You'll never make another one once you're down here in Latin America. You'll be a lonely hermit in a sea of non-English speakers. Well, you know, that's completely opposite to what I've learned by moving here to Latin America. Sure, I left my friends and family back home in Chicagoland. But along the way, once I got down here, I met my real compatible soulmates. That is, guys and gals who were always on the same page as I was. I recognized that when I was back in the States, sometimes I'd have to throttle myself in front of my own friends. Does that happen to you sometimes? By the way, the following is a quote I stumbled on along the way that somehow addresses the problem of losing friends and family once you get down here to Latin America. Here's the quote. Nothing is more common than for us to love our friends and relatives dearly, the farther the distance we're apart. Meanwhile, we tend to love them much less so in person. You know who said that? Benjamin Franklin. You know, he was an envoy to France and England for 10 years. He was the USA's first foreign ambassador. Let me give you his quote again. He says, nothing is more common than for us to love our friends and relatives dearly at a distance. Meanwhile, we love them much less so in person. Man, old poor Richard got that right. Oh, and here's something else that's relevant to us that I learned along the way. In 1760, when Benjamin Franklin was an envoy to Paris, he said you could not drink any municipal water in all of Europe or even the world without getting sick, except one city, Paris. He said Paris in the 1760s had some civic improvement schemes that were fantastic. The streets were swept daily so they were fit to walk in, unlike those of London, filled with refuse and manure. And the city water was made as pure as that of the best mountain spring water by filtering it through cisterns filled with sand. In fact, he said his latest trip to Paris after being in London for the 2 years previously had done so much to invigorate his health. He joked in a news article that Paris very nearly enticed him to make love to his friend's wife. What a lecher, huh? Franklin wrote that when he was 70 years old. Oh, that reminds me, I saw a cool t-shirt the other day. It was a clueless, obese Latino guy wearing it. Get this, the t-shirt said on one side, Ode, it's O-D-E, to out-of-shape millennials. I thought, what the hell does that mean? Then as he walked by me, I saw the back of the shirt. It was a little poem. It said, you love food and Twitter squawking. You text and meme when you should be walking. All right, let's take an email. This one's from Curtis, who says he's about halfway to having his plan B in action. He says, Johnny, a couple of shows ago, you were talking about microplastics, how everybody's infused with them. He says, Johnny, when I was in college, I actually used to work at a water treatment plant in Boston. So I try to keep on top of what's happening in that industry. He says, 20 years ago, we didn't even test for plastics or heavy metals, for that matter. Just bacteria and total dissolved solids. He says, the municipal water supplies in the United States, and in fact the world, are a lost cause. He says, anyone who drinks tap water and believes what the government says about the water supply is foolish. He says, imagine how people would panic if the government told them what was really going on with the nation's water supply. That would cause a panic beyond what we could possibly imagine. Then he goes on to say, 90% of all the plastic in the ocean pollution comes from 10 countries. Philippines, India, Malaysia, China, Indonesia, Myanmar, Vietnam, Bangladesh, Thailand, and Brazil. He says, we can pat ourselves on the back all we want about using paper straws, separating out our garbage waste, and bringing our own bags to the grocery store, which I agree on in principle, and that does minimize what goes into landfills. But we're not even remotely changing the outcome of the plastic nanopollution problem worldwide. He says, we really don't need to worry about global warming. We're all going to die from plastic ingestion. He says, when I was a kid back in the 70s and 80s, there were no small plastic bottles. There were the big 2 or 3 liter Coke and Pepsi bottles, but they were more expensive than the glass returnable bottle. He says, back then, us kids used to make it our business to go out looking for and to find discarded glass empties and turn them in for packs of baseball cards, gum, or soda. We were always on the lookout and actively collected glass bottles, aluminum cans too, and considered it a minor lottery win when we'd find a case of empties in an alley behind someone's garbage cans. However, I know these days in the iPhone age, going back to glass anything won't make kids search for empties anymore. It was a hobby middle-class kids had that will never come back. He says, I remember that my dad had many cases of empty beer bottles in the basement. When his empties pile got really big, my brother and I would steal a case of empties, haul it down to the grocery store and buy Cokes and a couple comic books. He thought we'd never find out, but when we were adults, he told us he knew. But even if they passed a law tomorrow saying that the world had to switch over to glass bottles, kids are way too entitled and would never go after empties like we did for fear of someone filming them and putting it on TikTok for all their peers to sneer at. These days, if a kid needs $5 or $10, he just whines to his parents and they give it to him. In my day, when I was a kid, $5 or $10 was like $2 or $3. And that's what you got at the grocery store for a case of beer or soda pop empties. Anyway, Johnny, being that I worked at a water purification plant, here are my water purification tips for 2023. Like you mentioned on a previous show, reverse osmosis is really good, but not practical for the average homeowner. Why? Because chlorine kills the membrane, degrades and destroys it slowly but surely. And the way all municipal systems chlorinate the hell out of their water, that means every reverse osmosis water system is being degraded all the time. RO systems manufacturers know this, so they put a charcoal filter ahead of, that is before, it gets to the reverse osmosis plastic membrane. But in time, the charcoal filter gets depleted and the chlorine seeps through. And by the time you start tasting the chlorine in your water, your RO system has been leaking for some time, who knows how long. So if you're religious about changing that front end charcoal filter every 6 months, you'll be all right. But these days, it seems people aren't religious about anything. Then he signs off, thanks for everything you do, Johnny. Expat gonna be Curtis. T-minus 6 months and counting. Well, thanks for that, Curtis, and you're right. I gave up on reverse osmosis a long time ago. I used to have one in Chicago 30-plus years ago. I knew about that membrane degradation thing, and Chicago chlorinated the shit out of their water, so I didn't quite trust it. Then again, if you've got a water supply that does not chlorinate their water, you could do reverse osmosis and be good to go. But like Kurt said, people just don't keep up with changing the filters. They fall down on the maintenance thing. Oh, and Kurt, speaking of collecting aluminum cans, remember when Pop Tops came right off the can and they were all over the place in the gutters, streets, parks, and public spaces? Then someone figured a better way. Ingenuity, man. All right, in the news today, here's a little story that'll make you want to get the f*** out of Dodge in a hurry. Title of the article, 2 rape suspects arrested at Dulles International Airport fleeing to El Salvador. Let me read the gist of it. U.S. Customs and Border Protection officers arrested two Salvadorian men at Dulles International Airport. They say were fleeing to El Salvador to avoid separate felony rape charges in Maryland. Officers arrested 53-year-old Oscar Armando Hernandez Mata on Thursday at the airport's departure gate. Mata was wanted in Montgomery County for felony rape and sexual abuse of a minor. He was living in the country illegally after being ordered to be removed by an immigration judge in 2006. Officials say the other guy, 53-year-old Carlos Ernesto Ortega Molina, was apprehended early Friday morning as he attempted to board a different flight to El Salvador. He was wanted on a Prince George County warrant for felony rape.
Disgusting, right?
But listen to what the officers, the Washington Airport Authority police, said when they caught the two fugitives. Quote, the arrests of these two fugitives, accused of rather heinous charges, illustrates the Customs and Border Protection's continued commitment to assist our law enforcement partners in ensuring that victims have a voice and that fugitives of serious crimes have their day in court, said the port director in an official statement today. Yep, and all that went down in Washington, D.C. Wow, some of you might be thinking now, justice has been served, right? Man, the government, what a bunch of retarded, mental midget pinhead slugs. Justice, huh? Let's see now. Let's revisit this. It says in 2006, the first guy was caught and convicted of rape. He was ordered to leave in 2006. He's been in the country ever since. The system sure seems to be working well, doesn't it? I mean, 17 years later, and still an illegal felon walking around scot-free in the States. Good job, you dickhead, a-hole American law enforcement idiots. Let the guy wander around committing crimes for 17 years. Yep, you guys living up in the States, you are being invaded and are being destroyed from within. There you have it, reasons 5,426 and 7, why you just have to get the hell out of Dodge while you still can. Then again, you get what you deserve. You voted for those assholes, didn't you? But wait a minute, Johnny, it's not them. You're the ass, Johnny. They just came here because they wanted a better life. You're not paying attention, Johnny. You haven't read the memo. You need to get that t-shirt I saw an upscale gringo wearing in the mall. It said, diversity is our greatest strength. Or how about this t-shirt? Illegal aliens. Diversifying America, one crime at a time.
South of the border. You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, we can schedule a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to get on the waiting list for my next week-long Expat Insider Seminar in Central America, where you're guaranteed to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your Plan B, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.